الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we had one long point, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْبَعْثِ, point of 172, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْبَعْثِ وَجَزَاءِ الْأَعْمَالِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْحِسَابِ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْكِتَابِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَالْعِقَابِ وَالصِّرَاطِ وَالْمِيزَانِ. And we have iman in the resurrection and in the recompensing for deeds on the day of resurrection and in the presenting of the people and in the reckoning, the hisab, and in the reading of the records, and in the reward and punishment, and in the bridge, as-sirat, and the balance, the mizan. Then just some points that came up in the questions, and were not answered. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And first of all, did anybody find anything? It was mentioned in the explanation about the sirat, the bridge, laid down over the hellfire, being sharper, being narrower than a hair, and being extremely sharp. And it was mentioned about it being hotter than burning coals. So we mentioned, if anyone, somebody asked, what's the evidence for the sirat being hotter than burning coals? And not just a logical evidence, or not just saying that it's over hellfire, so therefore it must be hot, but did anyone find, the question was, can anyone find a textual evidence, a hadith, which mentions that? So did anyone find anything? I didn't find anything either. All I could find, wallahu a'lam. So we'll leave it as an ongoing thing, if someone can ask, or just keep it as a point then, to try and find out, inshallah, if there is any direct textual evidence for that. All I found was As-Saffarini, in his book of Aqidah, his explanation, his book Lawami'ul Anwar al-Bahiyya, a thick book, he mentioned the point in there that he said, قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ, the scholars said. So he just mentioned the scholars before him, they said this. الصِّرَاطُ أَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّعْرَةِ وَأَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ وَأَحْمَى مِنَ الْجَمْرَةِ. So he mentioned it just as a statement of scholars before. He didn't mention any direct evidence for that last point. He quoted some ahadith, but none of them mentioned the point about the sirat being hotter than a burning coal. He just said the scholars said the sirat, the bridge over the fire, is narrower than a hair and sharper than a sword and hotter than a burning coal. Wallahu a'lam. Then one of the brothers asked a question and mentioned the point that we had it before, somewhere before, something that was not mentioned in the text that we had here and not mentioned in the explanation, with regard to the people, the believers who cross over the sirat, over the bridge, over the fire. It was mentioned how fast the different believers will pass. And the fastest that was mentioned were those who will pass like lightning. So that occurs in the authentic narration reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, believers who will pass even faster than that. Believers who will pass over the bridge in the blink of an eye. A hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 7439 and reported by Muslim, and it's the hadith al-Shafa'ah, the hadith of intercession. A long hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anh, containing the wording, and then the bridge Al-Jasr, the bridge will be brought and laid across hellfire. So we said, the companion said, so we said, O Messenger of Allah, and what is Al-Jasr? What is the bridge? So he said, it is slippery and causes slipping. It has grasping irons and roasting hooks, and hooks which are broad-ended and their points are bent, like the thorny seed of the Sa'adan plant which grows in Najd. The believer will pass over it, kalbaruq. Oh, no, he said, kattarf. The believer will pass over it, kattarf, like the blink of an eye, wa kalbaruq, and like lightning, and like the wind, and like fast horses and camels. So some will be safe without any harm, and some will be saved but lacerated, torn, and some will be thrown down into the fire of hell until the last of them crosses being dragged. So the hadith mentions, indeed, hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the fastest believers will be those who cross the Sirat like the blink of an eye. And with regard to another question that was asked, and the answer was given, that all that everyone will have to cross the bridge, even the best of the people, even the prophets will cross the bridge, then this is contained in a hadith again reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith 7437, and by Muslim, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, and it contains the wording, it's a longer hadith and contains the wording that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَيُضْرَبُ الصِّرَاطُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَي جَهَنَّمُ فَأَكُونُ أَنَا وَأُمَّتِي أَوَّلَ مَنْ يُجِيزُهَا وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ يَوْمَئِذٍ إِلَّا الرُّسُلُ وَدَعْوَى الرُّسُلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ اللَّهُمَّ سَلِّمْ سَلِّمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the bridge will be laid down across and over the fire of hell, and I and my ummah will be the first ones to cross it. And no one will speak on that day except for the messengers. And the call of the messengers on that day will be, Allahumma sallim, sallim, O Allah, save, save. And then just finally, before we continue, another authentic hadith with regard to the Sirat, or containing a mention of the Sirat. Then at Tirmidhi, narrated in his Jami', in his Sunan, from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, who said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he should intercede for me on the day of resurrection. So he said, Ana fa'il, I will do so. He said, so I said, O Messenger of Allah, where shall I seek you? So he said, Utlubni awwala ma tatlubni, awwala ma tatlubuni ala sirat. Seek me, the first place that you seek me, let it be upon the sirat, upon the bridge. So I said, then if I do not find you upon the bridge, he said, then seek me by the mizan, by the balance. I said, then if I do not meet you by the mizan, by the balance, he said, then seek me at Al-Hawd, at the great lake, because I will not go beyond these three places. The hadith declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Then with regard to this week, then the author At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with the affairs of the hereafter. So beginning with point number 173, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ مَخْلُوقَتَانِ لَا تَفْنِيَانِ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَبِيدَانِ. And paradise and the fire are both created. They will never finish or pass away. and paradise and the fire are both created. They will never finish or pass away. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in his explanation, and from that which will be present on the day of resurrection is al-Jannah, paradise, the abode of the muttaqeen, the home, the abode of the muttaqeen, those who are dutiful to Allah. And an-nar, the hellfire, the abode of the criminals. He said, Allah the Most High said with regard to Jannah, with regard to paradise, U'iddat lil muttaqeen. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 133. Concerning Jannah, concerning paradise, it has already been prepared for the people of taqwa. It has already been prepared for those who are dutiful to Allah. Then he said, and he said with regard to the fire, U'iddat lil kafirin. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 24. The explanation, it, the hellfire, has already been prepared for the unbelievers. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they are two abodes which will persist, and they are the final resting place and the end. Then he mentions the text of the next point, point 174, Shaykh al-Fawzan, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ وَخَلَقَ لَهُمَا أَهْلًا. And that Allah the Most High created paradise and the fire before the rest of the creation, and he created inhabitants for both of them. Then he said, and he still, Shaykh al-Fawzan still explained this first point, point 173. He just mentioned that within the text. Then he said, and the paradise, al-Jannah, and the hellfire, an-Nar, are already created now. This is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And then he quotes the same two ayahs as evidence for that. That's evidence that the paradise is already created and the fire is already created. He said, he the Most High said, U'iddat lil muttaqeen. With regard to paradise, Allah the Most High said, in the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 133, it has already been prepared for those dutiful to Allah. And he said, U'iddat lil kafirin. The 24th ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah with regard to the fire, that it has already been prepared for the unbelievers. Shaykh Fawzan said, and the word U'iddat, it has been prepared, is a verb in the past tense. It means something already done, something completed already. Then he gives another evidence from the Sunnah for this. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had his companions with him when they heard a crash, meaning the sound of something falling, the sound of something that had fallen. So he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذَا. Do you know what this is? So they said, Allah and His Messenger know best. So he said, هَذَا حَجَرٌ رُمِيَ بِهِ فِي جَهَنَّمْ مُنْذُ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا وَالْآنَ وَصَلَ إِلَى قَعْرِهَا. He said, this was a rock thrown down into the hellfire 70 years ago, and it has just now hit its bottom. The hadith, as I mentioned, reported by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, so this shows that the fire has already been created. Then he gives another evidence. He said, another evidence that the paradise and the fire are already created. He said, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said with regard to the severe heat and cold, إِنَّهُمَا نَفَسَانِ لِجَهَنَّمْ نَفَسٌ فِي الشِّتَاءِ وَهُوَ أَشَدُّ مَا تَجِدُونَ مِنَ الْبَرْدِ وَنَفَسٌ فِي الصَّيْفِ وَهُوَ أَشَدُّ مَا تَجِدُونَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ. He said, with regard to the cold of winter and the heat of midsummer, they are two breaths for the hellfire. A breath in winter, and that is the severest cold that you find. And a breath in the summer, and that is the severest heat that you find. The hadith, as I mentioned, reported by Al-Bukhari and by Muslim, and you'll find it in Sahih of Al-Bukhari as hadith 536 and 537, and also reported by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then he mentions another evidence. He said, and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَرُّ فَأَبْرِدُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّ شِدَّةَ الْحَرِّ مِنْ فَيْحِ جَهَنَّمْ. That he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, when the heat becomes severe, then delay the prayer until it becomes a bit cooler. In other words, the dhuhr prayer. The midday prayer, the dhuhr prayer. That when the heat becomes severe, then delay the prayer until it becomes a bit cooler. For indeed, the severity of the heat is from the raging of the hellfire. As they mentioned, the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And you'll find it in Bukhari as hadith 533, 534, and 538. And also reported by Muslim from different companions, from a hadith of Abu Huraira, and a hadith of Ibn Umar, and a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhum. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentions a further evidence as well, showing again that the paradise and the fire are already created now. He said, and likewise, the deceased, the mayyit, the dead person, in his grave, has a door opened for him to paradise. I mean the believer. In his grave, he has a door opened for him to paradise. And the unbeliever has a door opened for him to the fire. So this shows that the paradise and the fire are present. Then he makes a point and says, and the people of misguidance, they deny this. I mean, people of misguidance, they deny that paradise and the fire are already created. And they say that they will be created on the day of resurrection. This is the saying of the people of misguidance, that the paradise and the fire are not created yet. They're not here yet. They're not created yet. They will only be created on the day of resurrection. As the Shaykh said, that's the saying of the people of misguidance. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan finishes explanation of this point, point 173. Then as for Shaykh Muhammad ibn Mani' rahimahullah, then in his notes, he makes a point here, which is quite a long point. So he says, with regard to this point again, the same fact, that paradise and the fire are already created. He said, his saying, and the paradise and the fire are already created, and they will never pass away to the end. He said, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are agreed in consensus, ijma', that the paradise and the fire are already created, since the proofs of the book and the sunnah which indicate that, and also the story of Adam and his entering paradise and his departing from it, are well known with everyone who reads the noble Quran or hears it. In all of these, the Adam alayhi salam, he was in paradise and he was taken out of paradise and so on. All of this shows that paradise is already created. Then he said, and may Allah have mercy upon Ibn al-Qayyim, who said, فَحَيَّ عَلَى جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ فَإِنَّهَا مَنَازِلُنَا الْأُولَى وَفِيهَا الْمُخَيَّمُ. The lines of poetry with the explanation, so come to gardens of everlasting paradise, for they are our original homes, and there is the place of camping. I mean, paradise was where mankind originally lived. I mean, Adam alayhi salam and his wife. Then the Shaykh said, Shaykh Ibn Mani, rahimahullah, he said, and there are many ahadith which prove that paradise and the fire are present. And then he gives examples. He says, such as the hadith of the eclipse prayer, such as the hadith of the Salat al-Kusuf, the eclipse prayer, in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam clearly stated that he saw the paradise and the fire. Then Shaykh Ibn Mani' mentions a further point and said, and the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are agreed in consensus, ijma', that paradise will never finish or pass away. It will never finish and it will never pass away. Since He, the Most High, said, Ukuluha da'imun wa dhilluha. Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th Surah, Ayah 35. With the explanation, its provision, the provision in paradise, is everlasting and its shade. And he mentions another ayah, Ata'an ghayra majdood. Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, Ayah 108. With the explanation that paradise is a gift without end. He said, and other evidences. These are two ayahs proving that paradise will never come to an end. And he said, moving on to the matter of the fire, and as for the fire, then the same is the case with the vast majority of the Salaf, that it will not finish and not pass away, and none of its people will leave it. I mean, those who are the people of the fire, I mean the unbelievers. They will never leave it. Just as He, the Most High, said, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 167. With the explanation, and they will not come out from the fire. Then he said, indeed, the people of paradise and the people of the fire will remain forever in them, as occurs in the authentic hadith, Ya ahl al jannati khuludun wala maut, wa ya ahl al nari khuludun wala maut. The hadith that's authentic, where it will be announced on the day of resurrection, O people of paradise, eternal life and no death, and O people of the fire, eternal life and there will be no death. Then he said, and it has been mentioned about some of the scholars of the past that they held the saying that the fire will come to an end. It's mentioned about some of the scholars of the past that they had a saying that the fire will end, that paradise will remain forever, but the fire will come to an end. And this has been ascribed, it's been attached to and quoted as being the saying of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, However, it is not established from him. We can't say that's his saying. This is not established as the saying of Ibn Taymiyyah, even though people quote it as being his saying. And likewise, his student, Ibn al-Qayyim, has spoken at length about this matter. I mean, about the matter of, will the fire ever come to an end? In his book, Shifa'ul Alil, and his book, Hadiul Arwah. However, he did not state that with certainty. I mean, neither did Ibn al-Qayyim clearly come out and hold that and state that as his saying. He didn't say that. Rather, after mentioning more than 20 evidences for that, he said, if it is said, what conclusion do you reach in this tremendous matter? Then he said, his saying, he the Most High, Inna Rabbaka fa'alun lima yurid. Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, Ayah 107. With the explanation, your Lord does whatever he wishes. In this place, where people quote that Ibn al-Qayyim held that the fire will come to an end, they use these quotes in this place of his book, but he himself, the conclusion he reached, he said, is this, your Lord does whatever he wishes. Then he said, however, he clearly stated, Ibn al-Qayyim clearly stated in his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, that paradise and the fire will not finish, and that the fire which will come to an end is the fire containing the disobedient people of Tawheed. I mean, that is what is correct from the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim. That as for the hellfire, which is the place of the unbelievers, it will never come to an end. And the only one which will come to an end is that where the believers, the Muslims, who are being punished, and then they'll be taken out. That will cease. Then he makes further points. And then Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he brings a quote, which we'll bring here as well on the same point. He said, it's from Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, know that the fire in the hereafter is two fires. The nar in the hereafter, the fire in the hereafter is of two. There are two fires. A fire which will finish, and a fire which will remain forever and not finish. So the first is the fire for the disobedient sinners from the Muslims. And that will come to an end. And the other one is the fire of the unbelievers and the mushriks. I mean, that is the one that will never come to an end. This was the conclusion reached by Ibn al-Qayyim in his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, and that is the truth which there is no doubt about. And this gathers the evidences. So do not be misled by what the explainer, Ibn Abil Izz mentioned, and Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in his book, Shifa'ul Alil and Hadi al-Arwah, which might be misunderstood to contradict this, because they do not hold that saying. He's saying the explainer, somebody might read what Ibn al-Qayyim said in those two books, and somebody might read what Ibn Abil Izz wrote in his explanation about Tahawiyyah, and they might think that he's saying that the fire will come to an end. But neither of them actually held that saying. Then Sheikh al-Albani said, and there is no proof which is clear and authentic to show that the fire of the unbelievers will end. And Allah the Most High said, with regard to the people of Paradise, لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th Surah, Ayah 48. With the explanation, with regard to the people of Paradise, they will not be touched in Paradise by any tiredness, and nor will they ever be taken out of it. Then he said something similar with regard to the unbelievers, meaning in the fire. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 167. With the explanation, and they will not come out from the fire. So in other words, Sheikh al-Albani is saying that there's no text that shows that the fire of the unbelievers will ever finish. Rather the opposite. Then he finishes by saying, And that which is related from Umar and others, he quotes, some people quote sayings from Umar radiallahu an, that there will be a day that will come upon the fire when the gates of the fire will creak and it will be empty. So Sheikh Albani said, and what is related from Umar and others, its chain of narration is not authentic, as I have made clear in my notes to the explanation of At-Tahawiyyah. Note number 591. And then you can refer to Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Da'ifa, number 606 and 607. Then back to the main text. Then with regard to the next point number 174, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ وَخَلَقَ لَهُمَا أَهْلًا. And that Allah the Most High created paradise and the fire before the rest of the creation. And he created inhabitants for both of them. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, Allah has decreed inhabitants for paradise, and likewise inhabitants for the fire. So they will be rewarded or punished in accordance with their deeds. And that's where Sheikh Al-Fawzan ends a brief explanation of this point, that Allah has decreed inhabitants for paradise, qaddara, in his pre-decree, he has ordained people who will live in paradise, and likewise people who will live in the fire. And they will be rewarded or punished in accordance with their actions. And with regard to the next point, 175, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَضْلًا مِنْهُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ عَدْلًا مِنْهُ. So whoever he wishes from them will go to paradise through his favor, and whoever he wishes from them will go to the fire from his justice. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, paradise, al-Jannah, cannot be reached by actions. Rather, that is just a means, a sabab. Actions are just a means. They can't get you into paradise. They can't take you all the way there, your actions. He said, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, paradise cannot be reached by actions. Rather, that is just a means. Rather, paradise can only be attained through Allah's favor, through the fadl, the favor of Allah. So whatever righteous actions the son of Adam does, and however many they are, then they will not amount to paradise. It can only be attained, it can only be reached through the favor of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And righteous actions are a means. They're a means. Then he gives an evidence. Evidence that actions are a means to lead you towards paradise. Udkhulul jannata bima kuntum ta'malun. Surah An-Nahl, ayah 32. With the explanation that it will be said, enter into paradise through the deeds that you used to do. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning by means of what you used to do. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, an entry into the hellfire is on account of kufr, is on account of unbelief, as justice from Allah. He enters him into the fire. Allah enters the unbeliever into the fire, and he is not unjust to him. Rather, he enters him into it because of his actions. And with regard to the next point, 176, Then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَكُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا قَدْ فُرِغَ لَهُ وَصَائِرٌ إِلَى مَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. And everyone will act in accordance with what has been decreed for him, and goes towards the destination that he was created for. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, if he is from the people of bliss, Ahlus Sa'adah, I mean the fortunate people, the people of paradise, if he is from the people of bliss, then he will do the actions of the people of bliss. I mean, in this life, if he's a person of bliss, a person of paradise, he'll do the actions in this life. He said, if he's a person from the people of bliss, he will do their actions. He'll do the actions of the people of bliss. And whoever is from the people of wretchedness, then he will act with the actions of the people of wretchedness. He, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّمْ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Act, for everyone will have that which he was created for made easy for him. The hadith reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 1362 and reported by Muslim, and it's a hadith of Ali radiallahu an. I mean, when the companions asked with regard to the pre-decree, that if everything's been pre-decreed for us, should we leave off doing our actions or just depend upon what's been decreed for us? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Perform actions, perform deeds, for everyone will have that which he was created for made easy for him. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan quoted the ayah. He said, he the Most High said, إِنَّ سَعِيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّكَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Surah Al-Layl, Ayahs 4 to 10. With the explanation, your deeds are diverse. Your deeds are very different to each other. So as for the person who gives in charity and is dutiful to Allah and believes in Allah's reward, then we will make easy for him the acts which are pleasing to Allah. And as for whoever is miserly and thinks himself self-sufficient and denies Allah's reward, then we will make actions which Allah hates easy for him. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so it is the actions which are decisive. If they are righteous, then you are one for whom good actions are made easy. And if your actions are evil, then you are one who has evil actions made easy for him. In other words, it's actions, that's what's decisive in the affair. As for the people of paradise, they will have the people of paradise will have the actions of the people of paradise made easy for them in this world. And as for the people of the fire, then in this world they will have the actions of the people of the fire. That's what they will do. And as for the next point that we'll take as the last point today, inshallah, then point 177, and At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, وَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ مُقَدَّرَانِ عَلَى الْإِبَادِ. And good and evil are pre-decreed for the servants. And good and evil are pre-decreed for the servants. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, a section on al-Qadr, on pre-decree, has already preceded. I mean, earlier on in the book, we had the affair of pre-decree, al-Qadr. So he said, a section on pre-decree has already preceded. And Iman, true faith in Qadr, in pre-decree, has preceded as has, he said, as has preceded, is one of the six pillars of Iman. It's already come in the book that having Iman in Qadr is one of the six pillars of Iman. As he, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, Al-Imanu an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wa tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Iman, true faith, is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, al-qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. As I mentioned in a footnote, reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 50 and reported by Muslim. And it occurs as a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the author took this meaning, I mean what he's quoted, how he's quoted here, وَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ مُقَدَّرَانِ عَلَى الْإِبَادِ, and good and evil are pre-decreed for the servants. He said the author took this meaning from the text of the hadith. I mean, the hadith that we just heard. So good and evil are by the decree of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Since nothing happens in this creation except by the ordainment and decree of Allah, it is essential to have Iman in that. It's essential that we have Iman, that whatever happens in the creation, be it good or be it evil, it happens by the decree of Allah. Then he said, so Allah the Mighty and Majestic created good and evil for a wise purpose, for a hikmah. Allah created good and He created evil for a wise purpose. And he gives the evidence from the ayah. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, Ayah 35. With the explanation, and we test you with evil and with good as a trial, and you will be brought back to us. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so through that, I mean through good and evil, so through that the people of Iman and Tawheed and those who are obedient to Allah are distinguished, and the people of unbelief, kufr and shirk and apostasy, I mean, through that, through good and evil being present in this world, those two groups of people are distinguished, made distinct. The first group, the people of Iman, the people of Tawheed, those who obey Allah, and the second group, the people who are the unbelievers, the people of shirk, and the people of apostasy. And if there were not any good, then no distinguishing would occur. So good is loved by Allah, and He created it, and He decreed it. And evil is hated by Allah, and He hates it. However, He created it, and He decreed it for a wise purpose, to try and test. So he mentions Allah created evil, even though Allah hates evil, Allah created it. He said, even though Allah hates it and detests it, however, He created it. And He decreed it for a wise purpose, and that is that He should try and test. And if no evil were found, then unbelief would not appear and enmity to the prophets and messengers would not appear. And if there were no good, then jihad, fighting in Allah's cause, and commanding the good, and forbidding the evil, and alliance and enmity would not occur, and the people would not be distinguished. I mean, if either good or evil were not present, the people would not be distinguished and fall into the two categories, the believers and the unbelievers. And then Sheikh Al-Fawzan finishes by bringing a paragraph where he says, and someone may raise an objection and say, Allah hates shirk and unbelief, so how could he decree it? How could he decree that it occurs? So he answers, and we say, he decreed that for a wise purpose. Even though Allah hates unbelief and he hates shirk, he decreed that it would occur. Why? For a wise purpose. So that the people should be differentiated. People should be distinguished. Then he quotes the ayah, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 179, with the explanation, Allah is not going to leave the believers in the condition which they are upon until he distinguishes the foul one from the good one. But Allah would not make you aware of the hidden and unseen. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan finishes by saying, so we do not know the person who is obedient from the person who is a sinner, except by deeds. So they, I mean person's actions, they distinguish between the person of wretchedness and the person of bliss. I mean, if evil actions did not occur and good actions did not occur, then we wouldn't be able to distinguish between the righteous person and the evildoer. And he said, so affairs will not be rectified unless their opposites are present. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. Any points of clarification?
A day, then he knows that, then we say he knows that. But things what happens now at the moment, then we say he don't know that. But the thing what is in the Sharia, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent upon him, he knows that. On whether he's dead or not dead, he knows that, he said. But he didn't give me, you know, a proof from the ulama. And he said that, but do you know any...
With regard to the question about the saying Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, then we had the question and we had the answer a few lessons ago. We had an answer from Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, and Sheikh al-Fawzan, and there was something from Sheikh al-Thimin as well, rahimahullah. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, and likewise Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, they mentioned, as for the saying Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger know best, then they said that was a saying that could be said in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was alive. Saying that Allah and His Messenger know best, that could be said when he was alive, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive on the face of the earth. And as for what happens after his death in the Ummah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not know what happens in his Ummah after his death. And an evidence for that is the hadith in Bukhari, as we had, that the Shaykh quoted as evidence that on the day of resurrection, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will see some people who he recognized from his time And the explainers mention there are people who he recognized, they came to him in his lifetime, and then after his death they became apostates, they left Islam, and they died upon apostasy. I mean, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, amongst those who left Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will say, when he sees these people on the day of resurrection, at his hawd, at his lake, they'll be kept away from him. So he will say, my companions. So it will be said, you do not know what they did, you do not know what they changed and altered after you. So then he will say, be away, far away, for those who changed and altered. So this hadith is an evidence, hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith is an evidence that the Prophet ﷺ does not know what happens in his ummah after his death. So therefore it's not correct for people nowadays to say, Allah, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. If they're asked a question and they don't know the answer, it's not correct to say, Allah and His Messenger know best. After the death of the Prophet ﷺ, we should say, Allahu a'lam. Allah knows best. And then, that's a general answer. Then just specifically with regard to affairs of Islam, then some people have said that with regard to the Sharia, for example, the prayer and fasting and the Hajj, mean the deen of Islam, then the Prophet ﷺ, no doubt he knows that, because he was the one who brought us the deen, and when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the religion was complete. There's nothing new in the deen after the Prophet ﷺ died. So he knew the deen. And he knows the deen. So if a person said it on that aspect with regard to an affair of the deen, then some people mention there's no harm in that, in saying about an affair of the deen, that do you know the answer to this question about the deen? Then it could be said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Wa iyyakum. Wallahu a'lam. As for new things which happen in this world and what things that happen in the ummah, then the Prophet ﷺ doesn't know those things. As for the deen and what's contained in the deen, then he knew that. He conveyed the whole deen. He knows the deen. Wallahu a'lam. As for Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, and Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, when they were asked the question about saying Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam, then in their explanations of Kitab al-Tawheed, they didn't make any distinction. They just said, these days, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, just say Allahu A'lam. They didn't say, in this case, say that, and in this case, they just said, just say Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. But how do you know who they are?
I don't know, but say you feel like you see somebody being a bit rebellious, like, in a sense, you see them always rebelling. I don't know their destiny, but this is what you've seen.
Because the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, the hadith near the start of An-Nawwu is 40 hadith, fourth hadith. With regard to the creation of man, the creation of each of you is brought together in the womb of his mother for 40 days as a blood clot, and then for 40 days as a piece of meat, and the hadith continues. That right at the end of the hadith, it mentions that a person in this world, he may be doing the actions of the people of paradise until there's only a handspan between him and paradise. And then the decree comes over him, and he does the actions of the people of the fire, and he enters into the fire. And likewise, a person may be doing all his life, he may be doing the actions of the people of the fire, and then at the end of his life, Allah's decree comes upon him, and he becomes, in other words, he becomes a Muslim, and does the actions of the people of paradise, and he enters into paradise. So as for us, then we don't know who are the people of paradise and who are the people of the fire. So all that's upon us is to call the people. Those who are unbelievers, that we call them. Then those whom Allah has decreed that they should enter into Islam, they'll enter into Islam. And the people's calling them is just a means. We can just call them. Whoever Allah wishes to guide, then He guides them. Allahu a'lam. But we don't know who's in paradise, who's in the fire. And that hadith shows that we don't feel safe. We don't feel safe for ourselves, and we don't despair. We don't despair either for ourselves or for others. We don't label someone who's walking upon the face of the earth and say he's in the fire. We don't say that. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاك الله خيرا.